NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
And we welcome in a man that played for the Jets, did spend 10 years in the NFL, and now he is a media star with CBS Sports HQ, also Sirius XM, and that is our pal, Lijay Dusabal. Lijay, how you been?
I'm good, Zach. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I'll tell you, I've been so impressed so far by Aaron Rodgers. Usually I don't give a rat's ass about preseason or training camps or OTAs, but this guy could do no wrong right now, and he's saying and doing all the right things.
You can say that, Zach. You talk about a guy that there was a lot of question marks going into this offseason after the Jets traded for him, right? Because for the last 3 or so years, he hadn't really showed up to the offseason programs. There was questions about continuity with his young receivers. But then he comes to the Jets, right, Zach? And he's there the entire offseason, building that rapport with Garrett Wilson, right? He already had the rapport with Allen Lazard and Randall Cobb, but making sure he got that rapport with Tyler Conklin and also Garrett Wilson. And then, on top of that, Zach, he did something that I don't think anybody could fathom. He gave back essentially $35 million so the Jets could have cap room to potentially sign other players, whether it's now before the season or right at the trade deadline. So Aaron Rodgers has done an amazing job, and he's also been a really good mentor for Zach Wilson. I'm actually excited to see Zach Wilson play tonight.
And Jet fans right now, as they should be, they're like fat kids in candy stores. They're jumping up and down. They're delirious. They're going nuts. But then you have some Jet fans saying, all right, this organization always tortures you. You see Rodgers, he's saying all the right things now. He took $35 million less. But naturally, Jet fans are like, when does the other shoe just drop here? What do you say to that Jet fan that is still skeptical that something will go wrong here?
Yes. Stop with all that negativity. We don't have time for all that. Let's just put this into perspective. In that 2010 season, right, Aaron Rodgers had a top five defense, Zach. You know what happened at the end of that year? Green Bay won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is coming to a situation where he has an elite championship-type defense. So the Jets don't need MVP Aaron Rodgers. Now, would you love that? Of course, right? That's icing on the cake. But if they could just get adequate quarterback play, and last year for Rodgers, to his standards, was a down year. For a lot of quarterbacks in the league, it's still almost a career year. I mean, the guy threw for nearly 3,700 yards and 26 touchdowns. If you look at the history of the Jets' entirety, only two quarterbacks have ever done that in Jets' history. One was my guy, Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the other guy was Smoking Joe Namath, who won a Super Bowl. So if the Jets just get that Aaron Rodgers last year, Gels, they lost six games within one score. So they could have won 10, 11, 12 games and potentially won the division. So when you talk about a championship defense, you talk about Aaron Rodgers, the four-time MVP, who's highly motivated, who's pissed off a little bit. And then Sean Payton even just kind of threw some fuel on the fire for him recently, talking about his dear friend and offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. You get a pissed off Aaron Rodgers. The last time we saw that was before the 2020 season. And what did Rodgers go out there and do? 48 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, and won the MVP.
So how are we talking about Aaron Rodgers at the end of the year?
I believe you're talking about a guy, hopefully, that's holding up the Lombardi, but if not, a deep playoff run. And I believe we're talking about a guy that's going to play one more year for sure, if not two more years. There's been talk that he could potentially play 3 years. Now, I think he also said if it's a magical year, who knows what happens, right? Say the Jets do go on and, you know, do what they're supposed to do and then win the big one. I could see him going off into the sunset, and I don't think any Jet fan would be mad about that. But I believe at the end of this year, we'll be saying Aaron Rodgers is getting ready for the next season, 2024, in the Jets uniform.
So you talked about Zach Wilson earlier and how you're excited to see him play tonight. Do you think he still has a future in this league one day as a starting quarterback?
Time will tell, Zach, to be honest, because some of the film that we saw the last 2 years was got awful, if I'm being frank. And it's just the little things, the things that are boring to most people, he struggles with, right? fundamentals in the pocket, footwork, making your top half match your bottom half when going through your reads, right? When there's a little bit of pressure and the pocket crumbles just a little bit, him automatically using his athleticism to get outside the pocket and throw off platform. Those are the things that he struggled with, the simple things, right? Check down passes, getting your feet in the ground and making a check down pass. When that back foot hits in this West Coast offense, throwing it to the receiver and hitting him in stride, right? Those are the things he struggled with. So those are the things I want to see him grow with. And the thing is, Zach, this is like the first year he's actually had a veteran quarterback be like a mentor, a guy that he actually looks up to that he grew up watching, right? And Aaron Rodgers, I've loved what I've seen on film and practice as far as he's been a guy, even through individual periods, right? If Zach Wilson takes a snap and his footwork's off a little bit or he doesn't like what he did mechanic-wise, he goes to him and talks to him right after that play. It's not like he waits a couple plays later. So I believe Zach Wilson has never really had that mentor figure in the locker room before that he really looked up to and listens to, and I believe that will benefit the kid a lot.
Let's get to the next down. Lijay Duzabal here with us. So I'm going to bring up Justin Jefferson for a second. In year one, he had 1,400 yards. Then in year two, had a little over 1,600 yards. And then last year, had a little over 1,800 yards. Last year, with no quarterback, Garrett Wilson had 1,103 yards. So we've seen Justin Jefferson somehow get better. How much better does Garrett Wilson get now having Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, you just stated it, right? I mean, Garrett Wilson, to put this into perspective, Zach, had four different quarterbacks throw him the ball, and he went over 1,100 yards. So you're talking about not having any continuity with your quarterbacks and still going over 1,100 yards your rookie year. Imagine being blessed to have a four-time MVP. I would say before Patrick Mahomes, people would say was the most talented quarterback as far as the skill, from a skill set. One of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen grace a gridiron field in Aaron Rodgers, right? And then Aaron Rodgers comes out and says he sees a little bit of Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson, right? So how much better can he be? Go ahead and mark this down. Clip this, Zach. Garrett Wilson will eclipse 1,500 yards this year, and he may eclipse 1,600. I'm telling you that right now. With Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Garrett Wilson will eclipse 1,500 yards.
Now the big question is just going to be, in the playoff game, does Rodgers get too dependent on Garrett Wilson like he was with Davante Adams a few years ago and then just doesn't hit the layup throw? Because that was a concern in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Remember that game against the Niners.
I think the difference is he has a lot of faith and trust in Alan Lazard, especially in the red zone. If you look at Alan Lazard's red zone numbers, they're astronomical. Like, I believe the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, he's had at least 12 touchdowns or maybe even more in the red zone. So he really trusts Alan Lazard in the red zone. So I don't think that that'll be as big as an issue as it was when he was in Green Bay.
Also, with Dalvin Cook, do you think he'll be on in this backfield? Do you think he'll be with the Jets?
Ultimately, I do believe he will, right? It's just about what the Jets are offering them. And I was talking about this earlier this week on CBS. When you're Dalvin Cook and you're a veteran in this game, there's a number that you want to play for. Now, nobody's probably going to reach your number just because that's where the running back market is right now. So if you're going to have to settle for a lesser deal, Zach, why sign now and put your body through training camp? You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of these veteran running backs, I'm sure if Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott wanted to sign for league minimum, they would be on teams already. But they're like, a team is going to call me right before the season. I'll sign a deal, and that way I don't have to have the wear and tear of training camp on my body. And I think that's what Dalvin Cook is doing. I also think he's playing the wait in the game in case somebody goes down and then a team is potentially willing to meet him at his number. I still don't think anybody will meet him at his number. If I'm him, right, I'm supposed to make $10 million. I'm coming off of four straight years where I rushed for over 1,100 yards, four straight Pro Bowls. I want to at least make $8 million, but that's what the market is right now. I don't think teams are willing to pay that this late in camp for a running back. It's always about back by committee. So you're probably looking at a deal between $4 to $6 million with incentives to maybe push it up to $7 million is what he's probably looking at. And if that's the case, he's probably in no rush to sign that when he knows he can sign it right before the season starts.
And I'm not saying that he wouldn't sign with the Jets, but it feels like he's using the Jets to go to Miami and say, guys, I'm about to sign with an AFC East rival, team that's been the talk of it. I want to go home. You guys got to up your offer. That's the way that I looked at that tour that he went on at the Jets training camp last week.
Yeah, it's all about a buffer, right? He's trying to get each team, and it seems like he's really honed in on the AFC East, right? Because there was rumors that the Patriots were in on him. Supposedly Buffalo Bills were in on him.
Bill ain't giving you the money, Dalvin, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. We know the Miami Dolphins and Jets are definitely in on him, right? So it's all about trying to raise your stock, right? How high can you get it to make a team come up a little bit more to where you're at? To me, the Miami Dolphins just never made sense. Yes, it makes sense if he wants to sign there for $3 million, but is he going to be willing to do that? I mean, if you look at their running back situation, Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert combined for 1,500 yards last year. Like, why would you pay one running back $7, $8 million? You can get both of those guys for about $3.5-4 million apiece and have that same combination get 1,500 yards for you. And plus, they took Devon Achane high in the draft, who was a home run threat as well in the backfield. So the Miami Dolphins thing just never made sense to me. I don't think Miami and Chris Greer are going to really change their offer if there is one out there. Again, if he wanted to sign for like $3 million, I guarantee that they would have signed him up already, but I don't believe Dalvin Cook wants to play for that.
Let's get to the next down. Lijay Duzabal here with us. So as I brought up Justin Jefferson, I'll now bring up the Washington Commanders. A few years ago, they had a dominant defense, and then last year their defense came back down to earth. So people look at the Jets, they go, oh, they have a great defense. Maybe they'll come back down to earth, but there's a difference here. The Jets ended up getting a quarterback. The Commanders didn't. Is there any concern with this Jets defense out of the year? Because I look across the board, they're loaded heading into this season.
Yeah, I think Joe Douglas has done a really good job. And I would just say this about the Commander situation. I mean, when you lose, you know, Chase Young early in the season, Jonathan Allen was hurt too on that team. I think people tend to forget that. They were in flux at the cornerback position because William Jackson didn't really work out for them. Fuller on the other side has been really good. But that's why they went and got Emmanuel Forbes this year in the draft. So I believe the Commander's defense will bounce back. But going back to the Jets, right, they literally retained almost everybody. Now, they did lose some depth in the interior defensive line group, but I thought they did a really good job of kind of replacing some of those pieces. I think Quentin Jefferson is going to be a really good defensive tackle who has the ability to get after the quarterback from the inside as well. Now, they did lose Nathan Shepard, and then my guy Sheldon Rankins went to the Houston Texans. But other than that, the Jets literally brought everybody back except for Quan Alexander, which Jamien Sherwood, and Quan is a hell of a player, but I think Jamien Sherwood is ready in his third year to take that step to prove that he can be a guy that can be out there with, you know, C.J. Mosley and also Quincy Williams, because he's a guy for the last 3 years. He's always had to been the third guy, the fourth linebacker that had to learn all the positions, right? But now he's kind of settled in on that Sam position, but he's still backing up C.J. Mosley just in case he goes down. Talking to C.J. Mosley, Jamien Sherwood was one of the brightest dudes on that defense, right? So I think it's coming together from him. The issue that he's had is he hasn't been able to stay healthy, right? So I believe last year he would actually have an opportunity to play, but he got nicked up like he did his rookie year. So this will be a big year three for him. And the coaching staff has a lot of faith and trust in him. But I think they've actually elevated at the safety position. I mean, Tony Adams is a guy that people are starting to bring buzz about, but he was playing really well for them at the back end of last year, even though he's an undrafted free agent. I think another year in the system for Jordan Whitehead, we'll see him return to who he was with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I love the late signing of Adrian Amos. He's just been a consistently good safety in this league. We know what they got at the cornerback position, probably the best trio of corners when you look at Michael Carter, the second in that slot position. He just does not get enough respect for what he does, play in and play out. Sauce Gardner, you know, for all intents and purposes, was voted the number one corner in football by the players this year, and it was an all-pro last year. And DJ Reed played at a Pro Bowl level last year. He doesn't get the respect and accolades he deserves. But this defense, man, you're talking about the deepest, one of the deepest defensive lines in all of football. They're going to come at you in waves. And now that they got their star defensive tackle, Quentin Williams, under contract, that's nothing they have to worry about going through the season. I think this defense is going to be locked in. And with Aaron Rodgers on the other side, they can be even better, because now you're thinking about this, Zach, right? They're going to be fresher towards the end of the game because the offense is going to have sustained drives, right? So in the fourth quarter, if it's tight or they're up, they're going to be able to send that D-line at you in waves.
Do you trust the head football coach in Robert Saleh?
I do. I think first and foremost, Zach, you have to be a leader of men. And Robert Saleh is a great leader of men. Like, people and players quickly can tell if you're authentic or not. And the guy that you guys see on camera, the guy that's running up and down those stadiums, the guy with the energy on the top, that's truly who he is day in and day out, right? He holds his players accountable, but he also has he always has their back too, Zach. And that's the thing that really separates him from a lot of guys in this league. Like, he wants all his players to get paid. Like, he loves when his players get paid. And that's why you see so many players speaking highly of him, and they'll run through a brick wall for him because they love the guy he is and how authentic he is.
Let's get to the final down. On the way out with Leje Douzebal. So, I like this Jets team heading into the year. How could you not like Rodgers? You take a look at the wide receivers. They clearly have enough. Defensively, we just all talked about it. The one concern I have is the offensive line. What's your evaluation of this O-line headed into this season?
Yeah, that's the elephant in the room, right, Zach? Can this offensive line stay healthy? I know a lot of Jet fans were mad at Joe Douglas last year, but it's like, what can he do? He literally, his top four offensive tackles all got hurt last year, starting with Mekhi Becton last year. Then George Fant gets hurt, and then also Dwayne Brown gets hurt before the season starts. And Max Mitchell, a guy that wasn't even supposed to play, played really well. And then he had a medical issue, and he had to be out. So, I mean, he did what he could do as far as throwing bodies at that offensive tackle position. I like where we're at in the interior offensive line. Now, there is a battle at center right now. I know the Tippmann kid that they drafted supposedly is not even in that race, right? It's Connor McGovern and then the Western kid that they brought in via free agency. Supposedly those two are in a nice battle for the center position. I believe Connor McGovern will ultimately win that battle. But I think Lincoln Tomlinson bounces back and has a good year. And AVT, to me, was the focal point of that offensive line until he got hurt. I mean, you're talking about a guy in year two, Zach, that could start at both guard positions. And then when they needed him, when all that tackle injuries happened, they sent him out to left tackle versus Denver Broncos. He didn't give up a pressure that game and dominated until he got hurt. So him coming back, I believe he's an all-pro type guard. Him coming back and playing right guard, now it's just the tackle positions. Who will it be, right? Will it be Mekhi Becton or Dwayne Brown at left tackle? Because it seems like Max Mitchell kind of has a stronghold on that right tackle position. Again, he played really well last year. Going into his second year, you would think he elevates his game. And from what I heard from camp, he's been the one tackle that hasn't been getting beat, really, when everybody else has.
Last thing I'll ask you, and I will agree on this, I'm sure of it. My Patriots are fourth in this division. 1, 2, and 3, though, how do you rank the Bills, Dolphins, and the Jets?
It's tough, man. I think they're all kind of neck and neck. I know you call me a homer. I just think with the addition to Aaron Rodgers, if you look at the defenses on those other two teams, the Bills and also the Miami Dolphins, you would have to say the Jets have a better defense, right? And they retain most of their players from last year. I would say Jets, one, because, one, they're not scared of the Buffalo Bills. I know people were like, how are you going to pick them over the Bills? The Bills have won the division so many years in a row. Let's not forget, the Jets beat the Bills in MetLife with Zach Wilson last year. They would have beat them up there in Buffalo if Mike White didn't get killed. And even though he was getting killed, Zach, they were still about to win the game until Michael Carter fumbled that ball late in the fourth quarter. So they still had an opportunity to beat them, even though Mike White was getting beat to a pulp because of that offensive line. If you look at the Miami Dolphins, they're, to me, the scariest team in the AFC East, if I'm being honest with you, Zach. Based on if Tua can stay healthy. Right, they are the most explosive offense in football. Anytime you have a 4x100-meter relay team on your offense, it's scary for defensive coordinators. Trying to track Tyreek Hill, trying to track Jalen Waddle. Raheem Mostert can run extremely fast. Devon Achane can run extremely fast. And let's not forget, Chosen Anderson is there now. Robbie Anderson, that guy can fly as well, too. So, like, you're talking about just straight speed that puts fear in defensive coordinators. That's what the Dolphins have. And then on defense, they brought in the guru to fix that defense. Vic Fangio, they did take a big loss with Jalen Ramsey probably being out till December. But I've heard that second-round pick Cam Smith, who a lot of people had a first-round grade on, has played really well, and he's been given the first opportunity to potentially start opposite of Xavier Howard. They said Xavier Howard is back to his old self. I believe he's already got 3 picks already through training camp. He's looked really good bouncing back from them hamstring injuries he had last year.
So you're going Jets 1, Dolphins 2, Bills 3? That's what it sounds like?
I think that's where I'm going. I know people will kind of look at me crazy. And Gabs, you can speak to this because you've been in the industry for a while. Usually a team has a window of 3, maybe 4 years you can stretch it unless you got Patrick Mahomes. And maybe you can throw Joe Burrow in that category at quarterback, right? I just feel the Bills have missed their opportunity. We saw once Von Miller went down last year, they weren't able to affect the quarterback. Now, they did bring in Leonard Floyd, which I thought was a major signing, but it looks like Von could maybe not be ready for the season. It'll be interesting to see if he stays on PUP or do they bring him off PUP before the season just in case he's ready by, like, week 3. That'll be something interesting because Von's my guy. He's not a human being, but Father Time is undefeated. And coming off of ACL in your mid-30s, that's a tough feat no matter who you are.
Yeah, the way I look at the AFC East, if you tell me the Bills win the division, clearly wouldn't be shocked. Dolphins, Jets, none of those teams would shock me. But usually when everyone says one thing, the opposite happens, and everyone's already assuming that Tua Tagovailoa is going to get hurt at some point. So I ended up saying that Tua's going
to
be healthy.
I'm like, how y'all just already assuming he's going to get hurt?
I think the Dolphins are going to win the division. That was my pick. But
I would not be surprised. I'm not arguing with you on that, Zach. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, and it's almost impossible to differentiate those three teams. Anyway, Lijay Thusabal, always a kick-ass job. CBS Sports HQ, Sirius XM, you see him everywhere talking football. We appreciate it, my friend.
Appreciate it, Zach.